So I will begin reading Ezekiel chapter 47, starting with verse 1. And I will just read all 12 verses right now. Then he brought me back to the door of the temple, and there was water flowing from the threshold, from under the threshold of the temple toward the east, for the front of the temple faced east. The water was flowing from the right side of the temple, south of the altar. He brought me out by way of the north gate, and he led me around on the outside to the outer gate that faces east, and there was water running out of the right side. Verse number 3. And when the man went out to the east with the line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters, and the water came up to my ankles. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. The water came up to my knees. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through the water. The water came up to my waist. Again he measured 1,000 and it was a river that I could not cross, for the water was too deep, in which one must swim, a river that could not be crossed. He said to me, "Son of man, have you seen this?" Then he brought me and returned me to the bank of the river. When I returned there along the bank of the river, there were very many trees on one side and on the other. Then he said to me, "This water flows toward the eastern region, goes down into the valley and enters the sea. When it reaches the sea, its waters are healed, and it shall be that every living thing that moves, wherever the river goes, will live. There will be a very great multitude of fish because these waters go there, for they will be healed, and everything will live wherever the river goes. It shall be that fishermen will stand by it from En-Gedi to En-Eglim. They will be places for spreading their nets. Their fish will be of the same kinds as the fish of the great sea, exceedingly many. But its swamps and its marshes will not be healed. They will be given over to salt. Along the bank of the river, on this side and that, will grow all kinds of trees used for food. Their leaves will not wither and their fruit will not fail. They will bear fruit every month because their water flows from the sanctuary. Their fruit will be for food and their leaves for medicine." And we will stop there. This is a very interesting part of the Word of God. This is Ezekiel who is recording these and having these experiences. And Ezekiel was a very interesting character. God made him go through many things, very symbolic things. So a lot of the things that Ezekiel went through, they were symbols of what God was doing. So he would enact out something, and then that would be likened to some spiritual principle that would be told. And so in this case, a man, probably an angel of some sort, is bringing Ezekiel through various stages of water that begin their flow from the temple. So they begin flowing from the temple. And it starts out with a small amount of water and gradually gets bigger and bigger. And we know from the Word of God that water is often representative of the Word of God. You might remember in Ephesians 5 when it talks about a husband and wife relationship. It says the man is to water the woman with the Word of God. Right, so the Word, that's one example. The Word of God is often represented by water. The Spirit of God that flows in us is also represented by water. Jesus himself said, "Rivers of living water are going to flow out of us." So we have these depictions of what water represents in the Bible. And here we have water that starts in the temple and it starts flowing and keeps flowing and flowing and getting greater and greater throughout the 1,000 measures of cubits that he measures. So now we need to understand a little bit. A cubit is not a measure that we use anymore. A cubit is around 18 inches. And so to get an idea of how far each successive measurement is, 1,000 cubits would end up being somewhere around 1,500 feet. To get an idea of what 1,500 feet is, if you're familiar with the Willis Tower or the old or former Sears Tower, the Sears Tower from bottom to the top of the building is 1,450 feet. So we're talking about a distance the size of that building. The size of the building of the Willis Tower. So this is not a small amount. This is a large amount of distance that he's covering each 1,000 feet. So what this could represent, this could represent the stages of our life, and maybe even we could find ourselves in where we depend on God, because there are different stages of dependence on God too. We could be at different places. And it almost looks like this is a way to we could use it as a test to view ourselves to say, where am I in this place of trusting God, depending on God, believing in His Word? Where am I in this? And we will look at that in greater measure. He starts out by saying, in verse 4, he brings the first measurement and he says, no, verse number 3, he brings the first measurement and he says that the water, even after he travels 1,000 cubits, even after he travels 1,500 feet, the water is still only ankle deep. Now that's not very large. For those of you who have ever been walking on a beach with the water coming in, you know that you just kind of get your feet wet, and it's already about ankle deep. It's kind of fun at this stage because there's no real danger because you can see right to the bottom. You can see what you're walking in. You know there's no threat that's going to jump up out at you, and so people are very casual. They walk along the beach. This is, you see people holding hands and they're just strolling through and not really caring about too much. It's actually just a nice picture. Ankle deep water is a very nice, but they're not getting very wet. You see people there and maybe there'll be a woman in a long sundress and she'll just be getting the edge of it all filled with water or something, but nothing too serious. It's nothing. It's more casual, and the waves come up, and maybe you have to move away from the wave so it doesn't get too, you don't get too far in it. It's all casual. This kind of represents no real serious commitment to God. You're just in ankle deep. There's no real serious commitment at this point. You're basically in control. You are in control. It's not God in control, it's you that are in control at this stage of entry. And as we go deeper and deeper, we will see that there is control, and who has control? And that is always the question. Who has control? Is it the Word of God that's controlling your life, or is it you that is controlling what goes on? And at this stage, there's no real serious commitment. We're just ankle deep. If there's anything, I could see it, I get away. If there's anything that comes up, I just move away. I'm not too far from the shore. I'm hardly in the water, but I'm in it a little bit, but hardly at all. It's all up to us at this point. It is all our strength that moves us forward. But then he moves through another 1,000 yards, and the water comes up to the knees. And for any of you who have ever, walked through the beach or walked through the water as it deepens, you know that as the water begins to rise, that there is a little more effort that is required to get through that water and to walk through. But at your knees, it's still not too bad. There is a greater amount of effort that is needed. You might have to raise your feet a little higher. You might have to kick through a little water. There's a little more resistance with it, but you can still probably see the bottom. And if there's any fish there or anything else, you would be able to see it. It's not too difficult to go through. And in this, we could say that it represents a greater commitment to God. And you're trying to follow God, and you're trying to apply His Word, you're reading His Word, but you're still controlled by your own weight. It is not the river that is taking you at this point. You are still in control. You are still the one that's moving you forward, and you still have the ability to make turns as you want to make turns. It is not the water that is controlling you at this point. It is you that is moving you forward. But you're still searching, and you're still wanting, but you're only partially committed even at this stage. And then he moves them out another 1,500 feet. So we're getting pretty far out there. We're talking around 4,500 feet. It's almost a mile away from the shore at this point. And now, he says it's up to his waist. It's up to his waist. And now for any of you who have ever been out in the sea, the ocean, you know that when you're out at waist level, you're getting pretty unstable. You're getting pretty unstable at this point. As the water rises, it's much harder for us to walk. But you can still stand. You're still able to stand at this place. But it's much harder to stand because the water wants to move you. The water wants to take over. The water wants to make you buoyant and make you move. But you're still trying. You can still actually be on the ground and moving. You can't always walk a straight line as the water comes and the waves come. And you try and walk straight, but a wave will knock you over here, and so your walk will not be straight. But you can still walk. You still are on the ground at this point. It is an interesting place because you could actually swim here if you wanted. You could actually make it easier on yourself if you would just let the water take you. It is enough water. It might not be a huge amount, but there is enough water for you to swim in. But if we liken it to where we are in our lives, where we are in depending on God, there are many people that are, and many times there are problems that come up, and we don't know where to turn to, and we'll cry out to God, and we'll be seeking God even more. Have you ever been in that place where things are going well, the tendency might be, well, I don't need to seek God as urgently and as long, maybe, and then all of a sudden something comes up, and now priorities change, and all of a sudden we can find the time to pray, and we could find the time to search God and seek God out, and that's just the way it goes. Many times we're that way. When things are good, we don't need to depend on God so much, but when things get rough, we depend on Him a lot more. And at this stage of life, it might be one of those problems come in and we're really seeking God, but then the tendency might be that we still have our feet on the ground and we still want to control where things go. And we might know what the Word of God says, but we have our own plan as well. We have our plan. We know this is what the Bible tells us, but yet I know that this is probably what I want to do, and so we follow after ourselves, and it's like us walking in water at waist level. Because it's not that easy to get through whatever we're going through, but we still want to be in control. We want to know what the Word of God says, and if it matches what we say, we'll follow it. And sometimes we put a plan in motion, and then we ask God to bless it, and we know, okay, this is what I want. God, will you please bless this plan? This is my plan. God, will you bless it? And this could be likened to just being in waist deep water and trying to struggle your way through it. And we do this often. And the question for us today is to find ourselves in one of these places. Where are we at? Where are we at? Are we in just at ankle level? Are we in at knee-deep level? Are we in at waist level? How much control do you have over what the Bible says and what you are going to do? How much dependence on the Word of God do we have? We know the Word of God, but the question is, how dependent on it are we? And how dependent on ourselves are we? It's one or the other, usually. We're dependent on ourselves, or people are dependent on God. So now he moves us out into verse 5. And he said again, he measured 1,000. And it was a river that I could not cross, for the river was too deep. Water in which one must swim. A river that could not be crossed. It's finally at this place. It's finally at this place where we are fully immersed in God's Word. We are fully immersed in depending on Him. Because now we are not, He's no longer in control. He's no longer walking and moving Himself. Now He must swim. The water is carrying Him. The water is moving Him. And He says it can't even be crossed. The water has now lifted Him, and the water is moving Him, and the water is that Word of God, the Word of God, that Spirit of God that flows from us. It's this progression, and we find ourselves, where are we? Do we make any moves without God? Is our life controlled by Him, or is our life controlled by ourselves? It's just a picture of where we are. Do we make decisions based on what God wants us to do, or do we make decisions on how we feel today? Do we make decisions on what happened to us last week? Do we make decisions based on, is it good, a good day, or is it a bad day? Do I feel like doing it? Do I not feel like doing it? Or do we make decisions because this is what God wants for us in our lives? This is the place of the river where we're submersed in His Word, in His will, in His desires for our lives. It's a very different place. And it was an experience, but it was not something that he just read about. It was not just a theory. He was involved in it. He was getting wet. He was taken. There might not have been a sense of control for him. Maybe the current was too big, and that's why he said it couldn't be crossed. Sometimes when you submit to God and you don't know what tomorrow holds and you're dependent on Him, because let's face it, many times when we're dependent on God, we don't know how things are going to turn out. And we want to know how things will turn out. We want to be able to drive it. We want to be able to have a plan. I am like that too. But God wants us to be dependent on Him. And when we're fully dependent on Him, we don't necessarily know what the answer is. We don't necessarily know where the answer is going to come from. And the question is there anything in our lives that we depend on God for? It's not going to work unless God comes through. Is there anything in our lives where we are dependent on God, or else the situation is not going to turn out good? Think about it for a second. Most things, we're dependent on our own plan. We have a plan. We know where it's going. If God shows up or if God doesn't show up, things look almost the same. I read it even last week that it was a quote, they credited Billy Graham with that quote, which said, most of our churches, if God shows up or if God doesn't show up, nothing changes. Because we have our plans in motion. And we wonder how our lives are. We look at our lives. What are we dependent on God for? What are we dependent on our Lord? This was an experience for him. A lot of times, we're okay with water at our ankles. That's nice. We're okay even water at our knees. Water at our waist, we're getting a little uncomfortable. It's a little unstable. It's a little too far out. The shore is a little too far away from me at this point. It's a little dangerous. We're too far out. Too many things could happen. I don't want to live that dangerously. Water that I can't walk in at all. It takes almost a conscious decision to go out that far. You don't just wander out a mile from the shore. You're making a conscious decision to go out that far from the shore. But an interesting thing happens. Because in verse 6, the angel says, and he said, "Son of man, have you seen this?" That's an interesting book. Have you seen this? So he's going to make a point to him. Have you seen this? And he doesn't ask questions just to ask. He's not just making conversation. He's not just making small talk. And have you seen this? Yeah, I've seen it. Okay, well then I'm going to tell you what it's about. That's where he's going with this. Have you seen this? Yes, I've seen this. Have you seen that there's a river? Yes, I've seen that there's a river. Have you seen that there's something smaller than a river? Yes, I've seen that there's just water. Have you seen that it's just knee-deep? Yeah, I've seen it. Have you seen it? Yeah, I've seen it. So what of it? In verse 7, he tells him, he says, "When I returned there along the bank of the river, there were very many trees on one side and on the other. Then he said to me, 'The water flows toward the eastern region, down into the valley, enters the sea. When it reaches the sea, the waters are healed.'" In verse 9, "And it shall be, and every living thing that moves wherever the rivers go will live. There will be a very great multitude of fish because these waters go there, for they will be healed, and everything will live wherever the river goes."
So he says, "Son of man, you see what the river does? You see what the river does? It might be the most uncomfortable for you, but it's the one that brings healing. It might be the most difficult for you to handle because you're not in control, but that's the one that brings healing. That's the one that brings increase. That's the one where everything around lives. Everything around lives." And this is a picture really of how the kingdom of God works. The kingdom of God, if we're in the kingdom of God and its fullness, everything around gets healed. Everything around gets restored. Everything around gets multiplied. There is life and there is thriving life in that kingdom of God. But it doesn't happen at the place of waist-deep water. It doesn't happen at the place of knee-deep water. And it doesn't happen at the place of ankle-deep water. It happens at the place when we're fully submerged in God.
And that's why he tells him, son of man, do you see this? Do you see that now we've been there, and there are these different stages, but the one stage that matters and the one stage that brings life is when you're fully committed, when you're fully immersed, when you're fully following, when the Word of God and the Spirit of God inside you is allowing, is leading. When you don't have control over things, but you allow the Spirit of God to have control, this is the place where life happens. This is the place where growth happens. This is the place where the multitudes of fish are thriving in the sea. This is the place where trees are multiplying. Fruit is coming month by month. And life is happening and healing is happening. This is the place. And the interesting thing is, if we realize that we are the temple, remember the water started flowing at the temple. And if we're the temple, the farther out it gets, the greater the death goes. We often want to keep what we get inside of ourselves. And it's like the Bible is telling us, the more we give out, the greater will be the increase. The more we give out, the greater the river gets away from the temple. The more you let it go, the greater it will become. It's kind of like that exponential laws of numbers, where one becomes two, and you give and you spread. One affects two, and then two will affect two more, and then it becomes four, and then they'll affect one each, and then it becomes eight. And as it gets away, it gets larger and it gets larger. It's ankle deep here, and it's knee deep. Keeps rising and rising until it's a full river and it can't be crossed, and that's where life begins to come in. And we need to just see where we are. We need to see where we are. Because we're all in part of this, part of the water. If you made a commitment to Christ, you're in part of the water. If you made a commitment to Christ, you're in the water. And the question is, how deep are you? How much control are you? Because we're all getting a little bit wet by the Word of God. The question is, how much is it affecting us? How much are we controlled by it? And many times we might be in waist deep and we're wondering, well, why isn't the answer coming? Why isn't the deliverance coming? Well, the deliverance comes when we enter fully in. The deliverance comes when we enter fully in. This doesn't mean that it's a works mentality. It is just, we follow God's lead. The sons of God will hear from God. We'll hear from God. They'll follow God. When we follow Him, He takes care of our lives. He's the provider. He's the healer. He's the one who's the deliverer. When we don't have control, and when He does, is when life happens. And we might be more comfortable in the shallow end. And it might be, we like the feeling of control, and we like the fun part of being in the waves. But it's not where life happens. And sometimes I think we're apt to stay in that shallow part. And God sometimes brings in difficulties, and we're plunged into the deeper water. Where we have no choice but to depend on Him. And yet we still struggle whether we should be in control or whether He should be in control. And then in verse 11, it says this. It says, but its swamps and its marshes will not be healed. They will be given over to salt. What's a swamp? A swamp is often created by waters that recede. There's no outlet for swamps. There's no real inlet for swamps.
Maybe they have a small flow, but it's very small and it's not refreshed. So the swamp stagnates. The swamp just stays there and the water doesn't get moved. And often swamps are created by rivers that are receding.
We might have been in that river at one time, but now the river is not moving that much. And if the river recedes and there's water that's collected, it turns into a swamp. There's no outlet for water. There's hardly any inlet for water. And that becomes a swamp where there's no life. It's given over to salt. The swamp is not a place for thriving life. Swamps have the bring to mind the picture of the green algae all over the top of them. No one wants to be in there. It gives the impression of the slimy mud bottom, swampiness. No one wants to be in that. But those in the river, if they don't continually move, if the water is not continually flowing, they can end up being in a swamp over time. If nothing is given out, if all we do is take in, and we never give out, we too can end up being like a swamp. No life in the swamp. They're given over the salt, and they are not healed in the swamp. There is very little trickling out. The question that we wrestle with today is, where and what stage are we? Are we just ankle deep? Are we knee deep? Are we waist deep? Are we swimming in God's word and his love and his direction for our life? Or are we firmly planted in our own ways, on the ground, doing what we want, directing our lives, able to walk wherever we want to walk, go wherever we want to go? The water doesn't necessarily affect us. It makes us a little wet, but it doesn't really affect where I go because I still can go where I want. Or have we, over time, turned into a swamp where there was life at one time, but there's no life anymore? The only place to be is in the river. The only place to be is in the river if we want life. If we want life, and we want that life abundantly, and we want thriving life all around us, the place to be is in the river. Full commitment to God. Full dedication to Him. Full trust in Him. Letting Him wash over us. Letting the waves roll over our bodies. Fully submerged. This is the place of life. This is the place of healing. This is the place that we want to be. His name be praised. Amen.